You're an awesome God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today. Lord, it's warm and cozy inside with you and each other. We love it. Your word and your presence bring us warmth. And it's truth. Truth in the most inward parts, as you say. We thank you for the truth of your word. We pray, God, that you would just talk to us today. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name today, Lord, that you would do your work and that people would be touched by your spirit and your truth in a way, Lord, that's, well, exactly what we need. Help us, encourage us, support us. Help us to honor you better. And we pray in Jesus' name that your work would be carried out a little bit better as a result of today. We thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're going to remain standing, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Thank you. You may be seated. Today's message is called Pressing into God When the Pressing is Difficult. We're continuing our series going through the book of Matthew. Our series is called Just Jesus. We're all about Jesus here. We're going through Matthew because Matthew wrote his gospel all about Jesus. Last week, Bob, thank you so much. He didn't hear it from me, but he did a phenomenal job. He heard about almost every day of the week. I was like, Bob, you did great. Anyways, we really appreciate you sharing last week, Bob. And one of the things that Bob mentioned was the kind of, well, we'll call it less than warm reception that Jesus received from his hometown in Nazareth. He showed that we can miss Jesus in the same way by maintaining our own expectations, but it may not always be in line with God's desires or what he intends. Bob, through the word, challenged us to jettison our expectations of Jesus and instead to embrace an expectancy of Jesus doing something that maybe might defy our thoughts, but it's based more on a childlike wonder and faith. And this morning we're going to address those challenging times that you and I might face when we're hurting and we need comfort ourselves, but are still expected to meet the needs of those around us when we seem like we don't always have it in us to be able to do that. We're going to be talking about that today. In our passage of Matthew chapter 14 this morning, we learn that Jesus, in the beginning, the first 13 verses or so, Jesus encountered one of those difficult moments of experiencing personal pain and still needing to serve other people gracefully. But he was able to do so very effectively, and we're going to look and see how. We're going to learn a key principle in receiving the power to honor God and help others even while we're hurting. And we're going to provide four principles today to help us to do so even when we're fighting ourselves some difficult emotional times. You may have heard a story about a man who wanted to be a monk. And so he joined a monastery of silence where they weren't allowed to talk. And the rule of this monastery was you had to make an oath where you were only allowed to say two words every year. That'd be a challenge. So this new monk did so, and he didn't say anything. He kept his vow, and after his first year, he appeared before the head abbot, and he was allowed to say his two words. And so he said, "Better food." Well, the head abbot got the message, and so he went and talked to their new chef and talked about the improving the quality for their fellow monks there and on staff. And so they worked at that. A year later, that still newer monk appeared before the head abbot, and he was able to say his next two words, and he said, "Warmer blankets." Yeah, the head abbot heard that and goes, "Yeah, I guess our blankets are getting a little threadbare. So, okay, we'll work on that too." Well, the third year came by, and afterwards he's able to speak his next two words, and he said, "I quit." And Head Abbot heard that and said, "Well, that's not surprising. All you've ever done is complain since you've been here." Life's challenges sometimes can hit us, can't they? More than often than not, sometimes we need, they're more than just maybe improving the quality of our food or maybe desiring warmer blankets. Life can really hit us hard. Let me ask you a question. As a believer in Jesus, or just if you're just trying to be a good person, you ever been confronted with times where you were experiencing a tough life moment, period of time? Things were pretty rocky in your personal world, and you were really down or hurting over it. And then while you were feeling particularly weak or vulnerable, something else, a need came up around you that demanded your attention, that you knew you had to help with, but you felt less than capable of dealing with it. You ever been there? In other words, when you're hurting and then someone else needs you and you know you need to serve and help them. I think most of us have. How do you do that? A week ago, Saturday was one of those times, a little bit for me, just a little bit. The previous night, my son was driving my wife's car downtown Houston, and they stopped at a stoplight, and when it turned green, he pushed the gas and it didn't go. The car didn't move. And he couldn't put it in reverse or forward. It didn't go anywhere. So I guess a tranny issue, don't know. So he had to push it to a nearby parking stall. And the next morning, a Saturday morning, a week ago yesterday, he and I were out there a block away from Minute Maid Park, waiting for the tow truck to arrive. And while we were waiting in my car for a tow truck to pick up my wife's car, my passenger side door, where my son was located, had a hard time opening all of a sudden, out of the blue. And so, okay, kind of, salt in the wound kind of a situation. Okay, now we're dealing with my car. Praying about this, okay, Lord, the wrecker came eventually. He took the car and we're following him. And my son had to stop and pick up a car seat at a friend's house nearby, and which we did. And I remember he got out of the out of his door, which had all of a sudden now it's hard to even open for whatever reason. And he went to get the car seat. And I remember looking at him thinking, okay, Lord, I'm just thinking a prayer. Kind of, what's going on right now. I want to honor you. This is hard. Sherry's car, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. And then all this. And I remember just kind of just a prayer. And there was a man who just was across the alley right there. And I could see, he just kind of saw, I was kind of looking up or something, and he saw my son try to get out of the car door and everything. And he, without saying a word, didn't say anything. He went into his garage, came back, he brought tools. And he started working on my passenger side door. Wow. And I knew he was God's angel. Yes. And I told him that. Yes. He worked on it till it was fixed. You see, what I want to talk about today is sometimes we go through hard times, and then we're still expected to minister to others, and we feel like we don't have it in us. But I want you to know, when you're going through it, you're not alone. Amen. And that's the message today. That God's there for us. How do you deal with difficult circumstances and still honor God in them? We can answer that question with a simple statement. When life presses hard, press hard into God. When life presses hard, press hard into God. Let's say that together out loud in the count of three. One, two, three. When life presses hard, press hard into God. Say it again louder. When life presses hard, press hard into God. That's what Jesus did. See, I want to tell you about the background about our passage today in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew goes into great detail, actually, about this moment. See, what happened was, John the Baptist was executed, beheaded by King Herod. And again, great detail from Matthew describing how Herod had wrongfully married his sister-in-law. And actually, interesting, Josephus, if you want to read it, even talks a whole lot more about this. And so I remember reading, I was like, wow, the Bible, people don't realize how much, I'm going to use the word extant, how there's literature outside the Bible that corroborates and confirms the truth inside the Bible. And Josephus was an existing Jewish historian and eventually also a Roman historian during that same first century, and he talked a lot more about King Herod. We know a lot more about Herod than the Bible tells about because of Josephus, who confirmed what the Bible says, and I can get sidetracked on that. I'm sorry about it. But here's the deal. The Bible talks about how John the Baptist confronted both Herod and his wife, new wife, who supposed to be his sister-in-law. He confronted about that, because that's biblical, by the way, incest. And so he's confronting them on it, and they didn't like it. In fact, they said they wanted to kill him. But Herod was afraid of him because John was popular among the people. Nonetheless, because Herodias' daughter performed this dance in front of Herod and his entourage, and Herod promised to give her whatever she wanted, by the encouragement of her mom, she asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And of course, King Herod had to keep his word, his promise, so he made it happen. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, it opens up by saying that Herod heard about these miracles of Jesus. Jesus is now becoming popular. And so he's thinking it's John the Baptist back to life and coming to get him, essentially. His own shame, guilt over what he did was haunting him. And as we read, it got to the place where, with John's disciples, they buried his body, and then they went and told Jesus about it. Now, where are we going at with this? What did Jesus do? Because here's the key. What did Jesus do when he learned about the news? It hurt him big time emotionally. You see, you can miss it. But I want you to read this scripture with me. It's Matthew chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. And you might have read this who knows how many times, and you might have passed right over it. And I understand that, but guess what? There's a lot more hidden under that, in that little phrase. And we're going to look at that today. It says, later, John's disciples came for his body, John's body, and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. And look at verse 13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Why would he do that? There's one thing, it's called hurting. He says, there's no doubt that those two, John the Baptist and Jesus, were close. If you didn't know it, Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. They loved each other. They knew each other from the womb. If you wouldn't know the scripture, the Bible talks about how both Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John, were pregnant together. And for 3 months they hung out. Mary was with Elizabeth for 3 months together. I mean, and the Bible talks about how John is in Elizabeth's womb. As soon as Mary comes in with Jesus in her womb, John leaps up with joy. Ha ha! Jesus is here! They had joy before they were born. They were talking about lifelong buddies. No doubt all the different family gatherings they were together. They're only 6 months apart in age. They were tight. And then they were ministry partners. And Jesus even, of course, declared how John himself was Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, how to prepare the way of the Messiah, which was Jesus. I mean, they were tight. And so when Jesus got word about John's passing, he had to get alone. Now you say, what did he do when he get alone? Why did he get alone? Well, verse 23 gives us a hint about that. Look with me at Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. After sending them home, he, Jesus, went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Now this incident, which we read in verse 23, actually took place a day or two later than the first one we read about Christ getting in that boat alone. What we just read, that's verse 13. This is verse 23. It's a couple days later. But it's actually describing what he was trying to do the first time. Why? Well, because his first effort to get alone didn't work. And we're going to look at that in a moment. But the point is, Jesus wanted to be alone with his Father to pray. That's what we just read right there. Christ was hurting. A favorite cousin and ministry partner was ruthlessly murdered. He was hurting over it. He wanted to be ministered to by his Father. Life was pressing hard against Jesus at the moment, and he in turn pressed hard into his Father through prayer. When life presses hard, press hard into God. You see, we're following his example when we do that. But here's where it becomes a bit more difficult and challenging for Jesus. See, even though Jesus was no doubt hurting, wanted to press into his Father's presence through prayer, which he eventually did in verse 23 we read. But the first time he tried to do it, when he got a boat to get alone, his effort was stymied. Well, it was hindered, at least certainly initially. He wasn't able to get alone to pray. Why? Because the people saw where he was going. They followed him there, and so he was surrounded still by people. His effort to get alone didn't work the first time. Now, here's the question. What did he do? Now, when we opened up with this time. What do you do when you're hurting? When you're down? When it's not exactly how you want it to be? Life's not treating you well right now at the moment. And yet, unless something else comes up outside of that source of hurt that demands your attention, and really you know you should minister and you need to, but you feel like you really don't have it in you like you should to help meet that need, what do? That's where Jesus was at this moment. Let's see what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 14, end of verse 13 and verse 14, it says this. But the crowds heard where he was headed on the boat, and they followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. This is his first effort to try to get alone. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them. And look at this, and he healed their sick. That's what he did when he was hurting. Catch that? You see, you might have missed, because I've missed, and one of us missed, the fact that he got alone on the boat to get alone. Why? Because he was hurting, because he just got news that one of his a favored cousin of his was just ruthlessly murdered. And he also knew the implications of that for his own ministry. There's a lot going through his mind at that point. He had to get alone with his Father. Life was pressing hard, so he was pressing hard into God. But it didn't work because people saw where he's going, and so he was surrounded by people when he's hurting. Like people come up to you and you're hurting. What do you do? What did Jesus do? He healed them. He met the need. He still sucked it up, buttercup, and he met the need. That's what happened. Right? Amen. That's what he did. He healed the sick. He felt compassion. Even when he was hurting, he felt compassion for their pain. But that's what love does. See, Jesus' love trumped his pain. How did Jesus have the strength and ability to minister to other people in the midst of his own pain? The answer to that really goes back to our main point, which is when life presses hard, press hard into God. Jesus had already been devoting his whole life to pressing into his Father. He was always in tune with him. That's how he lived. Jesus talked about this in John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. Jesus is always pressing into his Father. He lived a life of prayer. He was always sensitive to what his Father was doing, and Jesus was always trying to do the same thing. Christ lived to press into God, and so should we. Especially when life is pressing hard against us. Why? here's the deal. So we tend to react when things are pressing hard against us and that there's other demands coming at us. We tend to do one of two things. And both those things can be problematic. In fact, I want to talk about that. Why should you and I still press into hard into God when life's pressing hard against us? Let's give you two reasons. One, when we don't take the extra time needed to pray, to get alone to God, to be ministered to Him by His Spirit, we eventually end up paying the price in some way. James chapter 4, verse 2. If you do not have what you want because you don't ask God for it. You know, too often, if we don't take that necessary time to be consistently praying, especially when we're hurting during those difficult times, and we still need to serve others, we're going to fail eventually. We're going to end up hurting even more eventually. Because God's the source of our renewal, our strength, our healing, and our comfort. We don't have an unlimited supply on our own. Listen, our church's motto, we have a little purpose statement. I say it every Sunday morning when we open up. We are a church that's dedicated to letting God love us and love others through us. Right? But let me tell you something. Often as believers, you know what we end up doing? We end up saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, I want to be used by God. Okay, I want to minister. So which is good. We should. And so we're trying to serve, but we neglect the first part, which is letting God love us. And so, hey, I'm not talking about you, but I don't have an unlimited supply of whatever is needed for anything. But He does, right? And so if I'm not seeking Him, I'm relying on me. And I'm limited, as are you. And eventually you can give for a while, but that barrel's going to run dry. Amen? It will. I've been there. Maybe you have too. Lots of things can happen as a result of not seeking God during those, pressing in during those times we need to. 6 years into the first church that Sherry and I started, I went through what I consider to be called clinical burnout. Or serving God night and day in a church that had grown from scratch to over 450 people in regular attendance. And yet, even while we were that big, we couldn't seem to afford another full-time pastor. And so all of that fell on these shoulders, and I'm not unlimited. I was serving night and day without any respite and with ever-increasing demands. And one day, I can describe the moment to you, which I won't take right now, but I just broke emotionally. And I don't wish it on anyone. And healing did not come overnight. It took a long time. A lot longer than I was prepared to do or to invest in. I had to go on an immediate 2-month sabbatical. And let me tell you, when the 2 months was over, it felt like 2 days hadn't gone by and I didn't feel any better. It wasn't easy. And I was having my quiet times. But that's all I was doing. I wasn't taking care of myself in any other way. We can't neglect ourselves in Him. We're not Him. We're not Him. I've seen too many people. I've read too many stories from too many different pastors, great church leaders who had similar stories. And they'll tell you their stories. Rick Warren, for example, being one of them. After 11 months of investing to start this church, 16-hour days, 7 days a week, he broke. Went into the hospital over it. I mean, it's happened so many times from so many different people. Because we're not Him. We got to seek Him first. And He's the one that has supplies all that we need. Now, there's another reason why we should press into God when we're being pressed against. And that's because the opposite can also happen. And this is no better, folks. And that is, we press into God personally, but then we end up neglecting others when they need us the most. Uh-oh. Sorry, I can't help you. Got to work on me. I've seen this happen so many times in ministry. People get gung-ho into a ministry, which is great. But then maybe get a little overboard, which, okay. But that's still, I appreciate the zeal, which is awesome. But unfortunately, some, for different reasons, they vary. But suddenly, all of a sudden, out of the blue, they decide, you know what, without any notice, dropping everything, gone! And after this ministry, they started developing, starting to fly. And everybody around them is left scrambling. What? Seen that too. That's not God's way either. Now let's go back to Jesus. Jesus was hurting. A really close relative and friend was executed. His response was he pressed hard into seeking his Father. But he also continued to minister in love with those who were around and hurting around him. Let's look again at Matthew 13:14. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. He still ministered to others in their pain while he himself was in his pain, because that's what true love does. Now let's take a look at some key principles from our passage here in Matthew 14 that can help us follow Jesus' example in properly pressing into God when we're hurting, so we can still effectively minister to others in their pain. How can I and you and I effectively press into God while in pain and still serve others? One, realize Jesus' love for me compels him to minister to my needs. This is so important. We don't want to take this one for granted. Matthew 14:14. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Love is an action verb. It takes action. It doesn't just say, I love you. It goes on and then goes on its way. It takes action to show it by its life or effort that love is actually there. John talked about that in 1 John 3:17. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Think about it. I want you to think about this. I was just thinking about this the other day. Jesus has never had a bad day where he just arbitrarily or capriciously said, you know what? I'm hurting right now. Life in the world is just getting way too crazy for me. So I'm just going to take a break today. I'm going to have a help. I'm not going to help anybody today. I'm going to take a me day today. I'm taking a personal day off. I'm turning off my prayer phone where I hear everyone's prayers. I'm not going to listen today. Nope, me day today. Hey, world, see you tomorrow if I feel like it. You ever heard of God doing that? No, of course not. He doesn't do that. Amen? We know he doesn't do that. We take that for granted. Well, we shouldn't take it for granted, but thankfully he is faithful and he isn't that way. Amen? Amen. But we treat him like, of course he doesn't. So we almost like, no big deal. Well, wait a minute. He doesn't do that because he loves and he cares and he has compassion and he has to meet the need. That's who he is. And you know, it's interesting. His heart, Christ's heart, is love, is perfect love. Jesus saw the crowds and their hurting situation. Even though he was hurting in the moment himself, he elected to minister to them and to their needs. Why? Because that's what love does. He's a personification of love. And you and I can bank on that love each and every time personally. You might be hurting, but we can, you and I, we can rest in the guaranteed reality that God's always going to be there when we need him, because that's what love does, and he's perfect love. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's who he is. Let's not take that for granted, folks. Right? When life presses hard, press hard into God. That's the thing. He's there for us, but the question, are we going to go to him for the need that we need, for our need that needs to get met? Are we going to go to him for the help that he wants to give? Letting God love us and love others through us. Pressing hard into God when we are ourselves, life's pressing hard against us. Another thing we need to do is, when life's pressing hard against me, here it is, choose to let God minister to me. And that's really our main point. Look at Matthew 14:13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Okay, here's the thing. He left to be alone because he wanted to be with his Father. We already know that. He wanted to let his Father minister to him and comfort him. And the same deal, you, in the same deal, need to let God minister to you. Some of us aren't comfortable. He says, I'm not a really good prayer person. Okay, say what's on your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. Remember, he made you, right? You don't have to explain yourself to him. He already knows you. Go to him as you are. As you are. Tell him how you feel. Tell Tell him your pain. Tell him your hurt. He understands. There's some people right now, they feel like they just want to give up. Tell him. He understands. But don't follow that, of course, because he's there for you. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, this is what God does. See, the whole point is in order for me to be effective for anyone else, I need to let God minister to me. And as I let God minister to me, then I can let, and he will, then I can let him minister through me in the same way to others, the same way he ministered to me. And that's really what 2 Corinthians 1 talks about. Read with me. It says, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. In other words, go to him. Let him love you. He comforts us in all our troubles. See that? So that we can comfort others. See that? When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Huh? Sounds like letting God love us and love others through us. Yes. Amen. Doesn't it? Look at the principle. I'm hurting in pain, need comfort. I go to God, who's the supreme source of comfort. He gives it to me. And then in that, I'm able to let him minister. As he ministers to me, I let him minister to others through me. But I first need to let God minister to me. Now, here's the challenging part. We're going to get to it. What about when you're trying to do it? Jesus actually tried to do that, right? First step. He was hurting. John died, was killed. Oh, man. Oh, man, I got to get alone and be with my Father. Oh, man. Tries, can't. People, here I am, surprise, help, 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 help. And he's hurting already. Been there? And what does he do? He helped. How do we do that? How do we help in our pain? Well, when I can't immediately get alone to pray, go ahead and serve, but then work hard to press into God through prayer afterwards. Because that's what Jesus did after that. See, in other words, don't stop trying to get alone with God. You say, okay, I tried to get alone with God, but I couldn't because other people's needs showed up. Okay, fine. And good, you met the need. Great, that was great. But you know what? You're still hurting, probably even hurting even more now. Now get along with him. See, that's what Jesus did. He didn't stop trying to get alone with his Father because it didn't work the first time. The first time he tried, he went in that boat, got to his place, other people showed up. You know what happened the second? You know what happened after that? He helped, he ministered, he had out of the overflow he still had, he was able to minister, healed people. And you know what else happened that day? You know what else happened that day? Crazy stuff. Something called healing of the 5,000. Feeding of the 5,000. He feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. So he figures probably around 20,000 people, conservatively speaking. That happened the day he was hurting. Did you know that? Probably didn't. No one talks about that. It was the day he was trying to get alone, couldn't. People showed up, he met their needs, and then he fed them all because they were hungry. He had a huge ministry day on the day he was in pain himself. No one talks about that part. So what did he do after that? He got alone again with his Father. He sent his disciples away on the boat. He said, he excused the crowds. Then he wept on the hills and prayed. That's what he did. Read with me Matthew chapter 14, 22 and 23. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, after he sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. He didn't give up being alone with his Father. Neither should you. Sometimes life isn't optimal in its demands. We're hurting in our own lives. Others still need our help. Last night was hard. I'm doing stuff, preparing for tonight, today. And family was gone, and my mom and I were alone, and her grandbaby at midnight. I'm trying to get to bed, and all of a sudden he went ballistic. Perfect timing, right? And he wasn't ever able to be consoled for a long time. Different things. It was fine, but it was hard. Life rarely fits our own schedule, folks. Right? Jesus still went with it. He still did it right. We don't ignore ourselves so we don't ever go to the Father and get ministered, nor do we ignore others so we can get ministered. We do it both ways. We get to the Father, we get ministered to, and if it doesn't work right then, we still meet the need, and then we get alone with the Father. We don't stop trying to get alone with the Father, otherwise we will ultimately break because we aren't perfect, and we don't have unlimited amount of resources. Only He does, so we go to the one who does. I want to share one more thought. One more encouraging note to mention. When we're hurting and still trying to press hard to God, and others still need to be ministered to by us, look at this, number four. God will minister to me as I try to honor Him through my pain. You're never alone. This is Jesus again. This is the Garden of Gethsemane when He's hurting the most. And guess, every time, man. He went to His Father, right? Guess Gethsemane, folks. Life was pressing hard on Him. The cross is going to be the next day. And what did He do? He pressed into His Father. That's the Gethsemane prayer, folks. He was pressing hard into God because life was pressing hard against Him. He had his 12 disciples. He set them to the sides and pray. And then He took His most trusted with Him. And He went a little further. And He's with His Father. And He's praying like crazy. Father, please let this cup pass by me. But if You won't, I want Your will to be done, not my will. And then right there, the Bible says this. This is Luke talking here. In chapter 22, it says, then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened Him. He prayed more fervently, and He was in such agony of spirit that His sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Isn't it interesting that life did not get easier for Jesus when He pressed hard into His God, and he had to press even harder, and even after God sent an angel. But guess what happened? After the angel came, He was even able to pray more fervently. He was able to face the cross in a more emotionally mindset way. He was ready. He was ready. God was there. God helped him, ministered to him. And when you feel like you're alone, and when you feel like life's hard, I can't take anymore. This is enough already. Enough, enough, enough. He's there. He's there. He sent His angel. Just like my car breaks down, and my other car is messing up, and I'm not an automobile guy, and somebody I never met, I didn't even say a word to, comes and fixes it. And all I could say is, sir, I wanted to give him money, but I didn't have any cash on me. So all I saw is, sir, you're God's angel for me. And I said, just tell him what He's doing. God, this is You. I could just tell God, saying, Lonnie, I understand what's going on. I understand, and I got this.
Amen.
And that's God with you every time.
Yes.
You're not alone.
Thank you.
Might feel like you are, but you're not ever alone.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the example of Jesus. Thank You for the example of Jesus. Life can press hard on us sometimes. We can be in pain, and yet still other things happen. It's like we're still expected to meet that need too, and how are we going to do that? And we don't feel like we're going to break. And Lord, I don't know if there's someone here, Lord, who is wrestling with that even today. That You actually are saying to them, child, I'm here. Let me love you. Let me comfort you. Let me give you my strength. Let me give you my peace. Let me give you my comfort. No one else can comfort you like I can comfort you. Let me love you. So then you can love others the way I'm loving you. Friend, right now, I don't know. Maybe you're doing just fine. Most of life, I think, either has some good things in it and some bad things. Some positive things and some not so positive things. And sometimes those not so positive things can seem overwhelming. And you know that God's still calling you to be faithful to Him. And He's still calling you to be His person. And you know that. And you don't feel like it sometimes because you feel like you're hurt and you got your own issues. And then we have that perfect example in Jesus. Hurting. Guy he really loved dearly. Wrongly executed. And he had to handle it. Right? He had to get along with his father. And even then he couldn't get along with his father because all these people and all the needs kept coming. And he still met the needs. And then he still met with his father. And my friend, how are you doing with that right now? How are you doing with that? Are you pressing into God? Is life pressing hard into you right now? Are you pressing hard into Him? He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting more than you can realize. He's still, I'm here. I'm here. Let me love on you. Father God, right now I pray for every person, Lord. You know where they're at right now. Lord, if they're going through hard times, whatever it might be, whatever source of pain they might be dealing with, Lord, discomfort, things that don't seem to fit, things that don't make sense, Lord God, and they're still meant to be, you're still calling to do it right and with the right heart, and that's not easy, Lord. And we know it. We need you. We can't do this on our own. We can't. We need you, Lord. Jesus had to get along with you, Father. How much more us? I pray, Father God, that you would minister to every person right now. They would choose to do it your way. Friend, if you are a person that's wrestling with some pain, could you just take this moment and say, Lord, forgive me maybe for not pursuing you as hard as I should. Or just kind of doing a flyby prayer. Forgive me that, God. Lord, help me to press into you about this thing. And tell me what that issue is right now, whatever it might be. Lord, you know what it is. We're life's pressing hard into you. And so, Lord, I help me to press into you like Jesus pressed into you. And Father, I pray for this every person here right now, Lord, that you would minister your comfort, that you would minister your peace, that you would minister your strength, that, Lord God, that you would bring healing, Lord God, where there's no healing, where healing needs to take place. That they would resolve, Lord, do you restore resolve in their hearts to do it right and to honor you. And Lord God, that you would fill their bucket up again through your Spirit. That you renew their heart, you renew their mind, that you renew their spirit, Lord, as they seek you. They'd be restored. And Lord, may they be able to, in their overflow, still minister and love on those around them, God, I pray. Letting others be loved through them. Lord, be exalted in everything we do. Help us to let you love us and love others through us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Amen. God's good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.